Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Join now. Let's do this Chris Harrington deal. Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
That is, of course, Help by the Beatles in honor of the Grizzlies, who may have some help on the way tonight against Houston.
Yeah, injury report. Ja questionable, Santi questionable, Dez questionable, Jaren, this is the bad news, also questionable. What does questionable mean there, Chris? Remind us.
Questionable means that they are likely to play, but they're going to take one last look at it in the pregame warm-ups and make a decision then. And so I would say probably 80% of the time, guys who are questionable going into a game end up playing. But it is not 100%. So they'll go through. And we got four guys questionable. I think there's a decent chance one of them doesn't play. But I would guess you get two or three of those guys at least.
Rockets without Tari Eason. He's doubtful. And Jabari Smith's been out for a little bit. Steven Adams will make his. This is it, right? He hasn't played in. When is the last time Steven Adams played a basketball game in FedEx Forum?
That's a good question. I mean, it would have been, December of not last year, but the year before, I guess.
Is that right? Because he
didn't play last season, period.
And did he play in preseason? Did he play in preseason before they ruled him out? Like he did?
Oh, well, yeah. No, he did. He did play. Yes. If you want to count that, he did play one preseason game. Yep.
And what was that? Was he laboring? Like, we thought that was...
He had his knee wrapped up very heavily, but he was productive in the game. Like, he played well, but his knee wrapped up pretty heavy and then, didn't play the next game and then didn't play the next game, I believe, and then a few days after that, he was out for the year.
Jeffrey, were you about to talk? You looked like you were about to say something.
January 22nd, 2023 is his last regular season game.
His last regular season.
Oh, January. I was thinking it was December. Maybe it was Brandon Clark that had to.
And then what happened? Well, then what was the what was there a moment, an injury moment? What, remind me? How did he lose?
No, Brandon Clark was after that. Brandon Clark was March. So Steven Adams. It was a game I think was against Phoenix. And it was a like end of a quarter, end of a half situation, and it was like just a knee thing that happened in the game. Yeah.
And as we've long talked about this, it feels like it, quote unquote, it ended, if not badly, might be an overstatement, but it was mixed messages or something else with the Grizzlies.
Situation. I mean, there's no point in relitigating all that. But what has been made clear this season is that the Grizzlies were right to conclude that betting on Steven Adams to be their starting center this season was too risky of a bet. Because he's back playing, and maybe he's playing pretty well off the bench for the Rockets, but he is no longer capable of being the starting center on a good team, and the Grizzlies decided they could not take the risk of having him under $12 billion on this cap and counting on him to be in that role, and they were right to make that determination.
And so what is he doing for Houston?
He's a backup center when he plays. I mean, and so he's, I haven't looked closely at it, but I think his rebound rates are still really high. I think he's been pretty effective, but he's not an every game guy. And when he does play, he's not a heavy minutes guy.
We got Steven Adams and Dylan Brooks. Now Dylan Brooks has already made his return multiple times at this point. It is funny. I mean, I ask because we, as Sports Raw Talk Radio Show, whom do you prefer, Steven Adams or Dylan Brooks? And Steven Adams is running away with it. But in terms of who was the more important Greater Grizzly, it's not even close, right? Dylan Brooks was a much more integral Grizzly for the course of his career.
Yeah, I mean, if you're ranking players all time, which I may do at some point in the future, I've done before, I may do again. Dylan Brooks' definitely career resume is far greater than Steven Adams. Steven Adams only played a year and a half for the Grizzlies, right, but it was a really good year and a half before he got hurt. Steven Adams was great. You go back to that 56-win team, you know, Steven Adams was great for that team.
It is interesting, and then there's certainly some incredibly, well, A, he was also incredibly likable, popular. He's walking the Chicago Bull off the court, picking him up, carrying him around. He's throwing the full court pass to Ja. He's also played off the court against Minnesota in that playoff series. But yes, he was.
They gave him a quick hook. You know, I think it's debatable, and people have debated whether it was too quick of a hook. And then I think he would have been more of a factor in the next series against Golden State. He ended up getting COVID, I think, right in there. And so he was sick to start the series. Then he had a little minor injury in the series. It just never quite came together. I think you go back and look at the Lakers series last season. Like, a healthy Steven Adams would have been really good to have in that series.
Yeah. So anyway, we got that tonight. So why has Houston been good? Houston half game up on the Grizzlies. What's the story of the Rockets this year?
I mean, one of the things I wrote about in my sort of NBA season preview was about how I thought that in the regular season, at least, depth was going to be really important, and that depth was, you know, teams that are deep but don't have a superstar are going to sort of outperform on average teams that are more like stars and scrubs oriented. And Houston is like the prime example of that. They don't have anybody on their team that's going to make it all NBA team, I don't think, even though they're second in the West. But they're really deep. They can play 10-man rotations where everyone can play, you know, much like Memphis and much like, you know, Oklahoma City and some other teams. And they're really well coached. They're really good defensively. And they just really get after it. The question with them is the offense good enough? Is, you know, when you get into playoff-level basketball and the defenses are really taking a step up, can your offense hold up? I think that's a real question for them. But that team is legit in terms of their depth and their defense and their coaching, and those three things could really get you through a regular season.
What's particularly intriguing tonight? Matchups? Any matchups? Let's assume good health on the part of everybody.
You know, who's guarding Jaren? Like, especially if Tari Eason is out, right?
Right.
Jabari Smith is already out. Tari Eason, who's a great defensive player but comes off the bench, is out. I don't think Shingun can, handle guarding Jaren Jackson, so there's that aspect to it. They got better defenders to put on the perimeter. We were talking about John Morant and Desmond Bane in terms of Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks. A guy I really like for Houston and, you know, to pay attention to, especially if you're there in person, comes off the bench, but Amen Thompson, yep, I think, if not the best bench player in the league, one of the best bench players in the league, and he is, like, if I had to pick one player on that team to keep going forward, I might take the guy coming off the bench. And that guy, he is a super elite athlete who plays great defense and really gets after it. He's really fun to watch. We'll see if Reed Sheppard gets into the game. He's having a terrible season, but then they just sent him down to the G League, and he scored, 50 in a G League game. So we'll see about that. You know, I think some of the front court stuff, you know, with some of the absences they have in dealing with Jaren and dealing with Zach Edey could be interesting.
Yeah. Were you able to catch last night's game between Cleveland and Oklahoma City?
I watched it this morning, actually. I don't have ESPN. I've solved my TNT and my ABC issue, but I still don't have ESPN. Also, I could not have watched the first half of that game in real time anyway because I had, family stuff going on at 6:30 or whatever it was. But I actually watched the whole thing this morning. What a great game.
What an unbelievably great game. What a great game.
Yeah. And I think, there shouldn't be any doubt when a team is 31-4 or whatever stupid record they have.
Right.
But Cleveland is 100% legit. And they are co-favorites to come out of the East with Boston. And Boston has done this. They just won the title. But I don't think Cleveland's some regular season mirage that's going to go poof in the playoffs. I think they are co-equals with Boston in terms of coming out of the East. I'm really happy. I've always liked the way that team is constructed. And in fact, I think I've written this before. I think they are to some degree, Eastern Conference doppelgangers to the Grizzlies in terms of their team construction. I like the way that team's constructed. There was lots of, I like that they've been patient with it to a degree. They did make a coaching change. But there was a lot of talk about them breaking up those core players. They did not do that. And that game last night, like, Mobley and Allen were both great, and they were great together. And I love that they're making that work to such a degree that they are.
In fact, I do recall you mentioning the doppelgangers of the Grizzlies. They did have this one issue, though, that you raised previously, is that their best players seemed to be somewhat duplicative. You had Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. You had Donovan Mitchell right. and Darius Garland. Like, did they fit as well as the Grizzlies' core did together? And that's why people used to talk about breaking up Jared Allen and Evan Mobley.
Right.
And yet they've made that work.
They have. And I mean, the good thing about the duplication is that you can spread it out over 48 minutes. And, like, you know, you watch that game, they start in the fourth quarter with Garland and Mobley both on the floor and running stuff through them, and then they go sit down and rest. You got Garland and Allen on the floor running things through them, and then they go sit down, and then it's Mitchell and Mobley, and then the last 5 minutes you got all four of them together, right? And so it was always working when you broke it apart over the course of the game, but now it's working when you have it all together. And so that's something to deal with over 48 minutes,
and then
it works either way.
Ty Jerome coming off the bench, and he was
right.
fabulous.
No, and they've been good at finding role players to fit in around that. But, I mean, that the idea of having, like, a high-wattage backcourt that is not, like, they're not both combo guards. Like, Darius Garland is a point guard, and Mitchell is an off-guard. But they can both play on and off the ball, and they can both sort of run a team for stretches. That is, I think it's more... It's more of a blend than you have with Morant and Bane, but
similar.
I think it's somewhat similar. Evan Mobley and Jaren Jackson, there's a player type, and they are like there's kind of a player archetype that I think is really effective in the NBA, and those two guys are like leading examples of that. They're very similar. And then the question is, and the Grizzlies have always had the big center, the fourth piece, but it's changed. It's gone from Jonas Valanciunas with Steven Adams and to Zach Edey. And Zach Edey is not at the level of a Jared Allen right now in terms of that fourth piece big man. But what's it going to be next year, right? And so, I'm not saying, like, the Grizzlies, you're going to look up a year from now and the Grizzlies are 31-4 because that's unlikely. But the kind of breakthrough, like, the Cavs have made this season, the Grizzlies could be that team next year. I mean, the Grizzlies are third in the West right now. But, like, in terms of taking another step forward, the Grizzlies have the kind of roster set up to do that.
The one of the sort of narratives Hollinger wrote about this earlier this week was, has it made sense for teams to go all in for stars, right? Whether it's Philadelphia, you see it's sort of a disaster. The Suns, it's been sort of a disaster. Atlanta was sort of a mini disaster before they got off of it and whatever else. You know, people have made these big deals. Take whatever you want for adding a critical player. And is there buyer's remorse, and is there going to be some reluctance to do that going forward? The counterexample, though, is, well, A, in the Knicks, they've been sort of doing that. And very clearly, with Donovan Mitchell, the Cavs did it. And then the great thing is they were able to persuade him to stay.
Well, I think there's no – I mean, every situation, just like every player, is somewhat different from another, right? And there's no, like, one way that things have to be done. And that's part of the lesson of this, right? And when everyone – get back to the stylistic thing, everyone's like, you know, you can't play the two bigs together. Like, you know, you can't have a center that doesn't shoot threes to win. Like, you know, there's no like, hard and fast rule of you have to do a certain thing to win. And there's no hard and fast rule that you have to build your team a certain way. I think you got to be specific about the team and the player and the situation. So yeah, they went out and traded for Donovan Mitchell. He sort of fit stylistically. He fit age wise. To me, the problem is when sort of what do you mean by star, right? We get focused on star in terms of a reputation instead of a reality a little bit. And so, like, you know, Phoenix traded for a star when they went and added Bradley Beal, right? But, like, that's not reality,
right?
You know. And so I think you got to set aside the idea of stars.
Yeah.
NBA is just really focused on the idea of a player being a quote-unquote star. To me, it's more helpful just to throw that word out of your vocabulary and just to think about how good players are and how good players are at certain points in their career, where those careers are headed, how they fit on your team. And this idea of, like, there's a line between the star and the not star, like, I don't know. Like, Desmond Bane's not a star and Bradley right. Beal is? Like, what does that even mean, you know?
Right. And so much of the to the remorse or regret is in situations where age and injury have had an impact. With age and you know, and that's a very different situation. And if you look at Milwaukee, so they go all in for Dame, and that doesn't work, quote unquote star. Once upon a time, they went all in for Chris. They overpaid for Chris Middleton, according to various, you know, whatever, and that got him a championship.
Yeah,
you know,
the thing about the Dame thing, though, let's say they just never done that. Like, that roster was getting creaky already. I mean, Drew Holiday is great, but Drew Holiday is like the fifth option in Boston, right?
Right.
And so, like, who's to say that Milwaukee is like, what, fourth or fifth or whatever in the East right now? Who's to say if they don't make the Dame trade that they're any better than they are right now? They might be worse, you know?
In terms of Oklahoma City, obviously they come up short last night. Whatever, no shame in that. It was a terrific game.
They were playing without two of their six best players.
Right, they got no.
And they had not played a single. And Alex Caruso was also out, so it's two of their six best guys. And they haven't played a single game this season with all six of those guys on the floor. Like, you talk about the Grizzlies stuff, and the Grizzlies have had more injuries than OKC. But, like Chet Holmgren, and they haven't had Chet Holmgren and Isaiah Hartenstein together in a game yet. Not one.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're certainly formidable. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
You also yesterday wrote about, we didn't get to talk about it yesterday. We had so many other things on our plate. The weekend film in Memphis. Let's see. Den of Thieves. What is Den of Thieves?
So it's a kind of a typical January movie week where you got some sort of low rent stuff showing up, and then you have some stuff that is sort of like under the radar, like award season stuff that's sort of trickling in late. And so you don't really have big movies opening this week, although I think Den of Thieves will be a big movie in the box office. It's a sequel. It's Den of Thieves 2, Pantera. I don't know what the Pantera part means. But Den of Thieves was an action movie that came out, the original one, in 2018. It was basically like a copycat of Heat, like the old Al Pacino, Robert De Niro heist movie from the 90s.
Uh-huh.
It's basically like a poor man's, like you know, the store brand version of Heat, you know, was what Den of Thieves was. And so it was nowhere near as good, but it was kind of fun on its own terms. It is kind of, if you like cops and robbers, you know, heist movie kind of stuff.
Right.
I'd like to be a good time at the movies. And Den of Thieves was like worked on that basis. It was a pretty decent hit for like an under the radar movie, and enough of a hit that now they've made a sequel. Whether the sequel will be as good, I don't know. But I like watching thrillers. You know, I like watching cops and robbers and all that kind of stuff.
The Girl with the Needle sounds like it's not for everyone.
No, it's definitely not for everyone. I mean, not only is it you know, a black and white foreign language movie, it's a Danish film. But it's pretty dark material. I don't want to give away too much of the plot, but it's set in the immediate aftermath of World War One, aka the Great War at the time. And it's about sort of the fabric of society sort of being torn in that moment, and particularly around the issues of pregnancy and adoption and some of that kind of stuff. But it's pretty dark. It may be too dark, but it's a very extremely well-made film. And it is beautiful, beautiful in the sense, I mean, it's dark material, but the visually, it's not just that it's shot in black and white. Not all black and white movies look the same. This is truly impeccable black and white cinematography. It is something to see. And so if you're an adventurous moviegoer and you have a stomach versus some darker kind of stuff, it is something worth checking out.
What's The Last Showgirl?
That, to me, is not so much worth checking out. That was a movie that clearly the people who made it wanted it to be like an award season thing, and it's just kind of not. It stars Pamela Anderson, and it really plays on her persona. Pamela Anderson was like the Baywatch star, sort of bombshell of, like, you know, that period in the 90s and all that. And it stars her as the quote-unquote last showgirl. She's the oldest member of a Vegas showgirl troupe that whose show has been canceled, and it's like, I guess, 2 weeks to go. And it's sort of a backstage drama about that. It's wanting to be sort of a seedy underbelly backstage drama kind of thing. To me, it plays on her persona more than her performance, which I think is kind of shaky. I'm not a big fan of that movie. Some people are.
Back to the Future, the original one, is being shown at the Pink Palace Saturday. So if you want to see that on a massive screen, you can do that. We did have the Golden Globes, which obviously been horrific stuff happening out there in Hollywood right now. But
right?
And you had explained to me, I don't think most people understand which awards are serious, which award whatever aren't. And you had explained to me over the years why the Golden Globes not necessarily to be taken seriously. I gather they've reformed it or they've tried. Did you pay attention to the Golden Globes?
There were some scandals at the Golden Globes, and so it was always kind of a joke when you really understood it, but it was a joke that was getting to the point that it was really sketchy, and there were some reforms, and it is cleaned up now. It is still mostly something people care about because it's a TV show.
Right.
Well, like over the weekend, like, you know, the New York Film Critics Circle gave out their awards, and that looked pretty cool, but it wasn't on television, right?
Right.
And so people don't take it as seriously. So the Golden Globes get taken seriously because it's a TV show and celebrities show up. But, like, no one really, almost no one knows, like, who is deciding on these awards and why they should care about these particular awards. But it's a TV show.
Chris, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You know that new Nicole Kidman movie, Jeffrey? You know that new Nicole Kidman is in some, is it called Baby?
I think it's a two-word thing, like Baby Girl or something like that.
Yeah, so Nikki Glaser was the comedian who hosted the Golden Globes, and I did watch her
monologue.
She gave that show two fingers up.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. It's a Nikki Glaser joke. So don't blame me for that.
I mean, we were, Aaliyah and I. Like,
I actually thought it was a good monologue.
No, Nikki Glaser's very funny. We had like the Globes on like a side TV, and then that was like a nice reminder of like, life has passed us by. I think I could name two of the 20-ish films, like I could explain to her what two of them were.
I saw the Dylan film. I've actually been to see a film. I saw the Dylan film, really enjoyed the Dylan film. And I'm not like a Bob Dylan guy.
Yeah.
It was interesting to me because when Chris talked to us about the Bob Dylan film, he said he really liked the fact that the film does not try to explain where did Bob Dylan come from, this
right.
mysterious figure. You just enjoy and you are in a sense of wonder over the music. And Timothée Chalamet is great. Is Bob Dylan. He's tremendous as Bob Dylan. So it was interesting, though. I was reading the Esquire review of the film, and their criticism was, perfectly okay film, but they never even try to explain where Bob Dylan came from or the insight about what created. So literally the thing that Chris loved about it is the thing that this other reviewer was griping about. If you have any interest in whatever,
I think it speaks to like Chris's understanding of Bob Dylan. Like the whole idea of Bob Dylan is like a creation.
Well, he emerged from the moment. Peter, by the way, Peter, Paul, and Mary, Peter from Peter, Paul, and Mary died the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Yarrow from Peter, Paul, and Mary. I had no idea this was true. The manager who was Bob Dylan's manager is the person who created Peter, Paul, and Mary. Much like,
Edward Norton?
I'm not saying it was like the Monkees were created or something like that.
Not a fictional band.
It is true. There was maybe it was the Drifters. There was another successful folk band. And he said, we got to put one of these together, right?
Yeah.
We got to find another one. So he found Peter and Mary. And he said, you two, you're singing together. Mary happened to know Paul, whose name is not actually Paul. Middle name is Paul. And they became Peter, Paul, and Mary. And then Peter, Paul, and Mary, they dissolved. You, of course, know them from, you know, Leaving on a Jet Plane, Puff the Magic Dragon, etc. Right? They broke up because, I only know this because I read obituaries. Well, A, they wanted to pursue their solo careers. Who doesn't? And B, Peter Yarrow was charged with and pled guilty to molestation of a minor, 14-year-old girl.
Did not know that one.
I didn't know that was in the Puff the Magic Dragon lexicon, but there you go. He expressed remorse about it until the end of his life.
That's big of him.
No, but it is funny. Whatever. So, yeah. So there you go. The things you'll learn. Who knows? I'm not going to say we're going to have any Peter, Paul, and Mary trivia on this next segment, but we are going to play Right in the Right trivia for the
Kevin's
first time.
Kevin's going to rewrite all the questions now.
In 2025. What's the prize, Jeffrey?
Jeff, we got two tickets to go see Sam Morril. That will be at Minglewood on February the 16th. It is the Errors Tour.
The phone number is, you got to be righter than right. That means destroy Jeffrey. Start out 2025 on the right foot or play honorably. Either way, and you'll get your prize. 445-0929 is the phone number. 445-0929. It's 2025, so we will take caller number 5. 445-0929 in order to be the first contestant in Righter Than Right trivia and to start this year off in triumphant fashion in the new year. It is 445-0929. We'll play Righter Than Right trivia when we return. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Kevin Cerrito. He's the maestro of fun and games here in Memphis, Tennessee. Kevin, how are you? Whoops. No Kevin. 2025 is getting started on a little bit of a technological...
Kevin, he should be there now.
Here, I'm here.
Hi, yeah, Kevin. Sorry, he muted himself.
Sorry about that. Nice to have you, Kevin.
Yeah, we were having some technical problems, so I muted myself and added an additional technical problem. Yeah, happy new year to everyone here on Righter Than Right trivia. I don't know if you looked at the weather, but the snow has been pushed back to midnight, so you still can enjoy today
and tonight
and get out. And so come on out and join us tonight. It's your last night. Most people, Jeffrey, I know you're going to have to wake up and drive through whatever is on the roads, but everybody else, many of us will be off tomorrow, and so you might as well get out tonight, enjoy some heat, some clean water, some warm food while you can. So we've got music bingo happening at Laughlin Yard downtown at the Coach House. We've got trivia happening at Evergreen Grill in Midtown, the Hampline Tap Room there right off of Sam Cooper. And we'll be out at the Huey's on Winchester, the Southwind Huey's, playing trivia tonight. So if it's trivia or music bingo, we do have an adjusted schedule because of the weather, but it doesn't look like it's going to impact the roads at all. So you can get out tonight and come join us, CerritoEntertainment.com.
All right, Jeffrey, do we have our first competitor for
Jeff,
the 2025 year? Who's that?
The man that invented the game. We have Steve Conley joining us.
Steve Conley, how are you, sir?
Hello there.
Nice to see you. I saw that you on Facebook. I'm an avid follower of yours on Facebook, Steve. And you
and yours.
And you don't, I saw, I think you were complaining about the state of our grocery stores today. Is that they've been cleaned out? Is that your observation?
I was on my way back from Kroger. Eggs are cleared out. Bread's cleared. It's all gone. It's just crazy. It's like people are not going to eat for a month, you know.
It is cliche to complain about it and to notice it, but it is so true and so astonishing. Like the pictures you see of these shelves with not a maybe one, I guess one smashed set of hot dog rolls might still be there.
Yes, and that's it. It's there was a guy with a pickup truck. He must have had 40 bags in his back in the bed. It was just crazy.
All right. Well, it's nice of you to enter this contest, and we appreciate it. You appeared once before, I believe. Is that right, Jeffrey?
Actually, we're twice. 1-1.
Yeah. 1-1.
We're 1-1.
Okay. Well, this will be get 2025 off to a rollicking start. I'm going to turn matters over to Kevin. There you go, Kevin.
Yeah, Steve, one of the few people to take down Jeffrey in Righter Than Right trivia. The last time Jeffrey lost was in October, and of course we kind of refreshed the record for the new year. But that stat from Steve Conley, 1-1, we got a rubber match on our hands to kick off 2025. It is Righter Than Right trivia. I'm going to give you the choice of two categories. Whatever Jeffrey, whatever you don't choose, Steve, will automatically go to Jeffrey. You can steal from him one time. He can steal from you one time as well as we play the game out. All of these questions we'll be asking at Trivia Nights tonight and all around town coming up. So since you're listening here on 92.9 ESPN, you will have an advantage if you come to a Cerrito Trivia Night in the coming week. All right, here we go. Oh, you want to go, Steve, you want to go around the U.S. or around the world?
U.S.
The U.S. Standing just over 555 feet tall and capped with an aluminum pyramid, what is the tallest building in the District of Columbia?
Capitol.
That is incorrect. Jeff,
can you read the clue?
I know what it is. I know what it is.
I'm sorry, it's too late, Steve.
Standing just over 555 feet tall and capped with an aluminum pyramid, what is the tallest building in the District of Columbia?
The Washington Monument.
You want me to help you, Jeffrey?
I got it. It's the Washington Monument.
Yeah, of course. I don't know what I was thinking.
You had it after you didn't have it. 1-0, though. Jeffrey leapt in with a quick steal, and now he's got control of the board.
Around the world, what sprawling building is the most visited monument in all of India, seeing over 5 million visitors in 2018?
The Taj Mahal?
The Taj Mahal is, yes, that is correct. 2-0.
This is shocking. Ooh. Shocking Ooh. Early start. Really, by all rights, should be 1-1. Steve knew that, but he just he jumped ahead. He got ahead of himself. So here we are. Back to Steve Connolly. See if he can make up ground.
Yes. Competitions or commercials?
Commercials.
Will Ferrell, Kiki Palmer, Chris Pratt, and Jason Momoa are all featured in a commercial now for what gaming app?
I don't know.
They all blend together to me.
It's Monopoly Go, but I've already stolen
it. What is it?
Wow, Jeffrey knew it, yes.
Monopoly what?
Monopoly Go.
Monopoly Go. All right, so, but he already stole it, so he can't get credit for that one.
Getting trounced.
Happily, to Jeffrey.
Well, that means you picked the right one, because I guarantee you, here comes a miss.
All right, we have Abby Stockard's been crowned the new Miss America. She's a 22-year-old nursing student from what state known as the Yellow Hammer State?
Alabama.
That is right. Jeffrey's
off to a rip. Oh,
Walter Kessler's
start.
Girlfriend.
Yeah, Walter Kessler's girlfriend. There was video of him learning that she was named Miss America. So it is amazing how it's no longer on TV. You know, it used to be a national event. The Miss America contest was on. Now it doesn't appear anyone watches. Anyway, it's 3-0. Steve Connolly, back to Steve.
You could have watched on WatchMissAmerica.com.
Of course, yes.
Oh, God. It's down to that.
Streaming on Tubi.
Right.
Yes. Swifty or science? Swifties or science?
Science.
All right. You got a multiple choice question here. What part of the body has the thickest skin? A, the scalp. B, the belly. C, the sole of the foot. Or D, the knee?
Gosh.
You have A, scalp. B, belly. C, sole of the foot. D, knee. The thickest skin.
I'll say the feet.
It's got to be the feet, doesn't it? You walk on your feet.
The sole of the foot is what we're going with. Sole of the foot is correct. The sole of the foot has the thickest.
All right.
He's on the board. One. All right. It's not over till they say it's over. Go ahead. Here we are, Jeffrey.
Okay. Swifties, Jeffrey. Which of these is not a Taylor Swift song? We have A, You Need to Calm Down. B, You Belong With Me. C, Love You Like a Love Song. Or D, You Are In Love. Lots of them have, every one of them has the word you in it.
Love You Like a Love Song. That's Selena. Love You Like a Love
That
Song.
Is correct. Yes, that is a Selena Gomez song.
Love You Like a Love Song.
Oh my gosh.
He's an unstoppable force. It's 4. Yeah. Is it 4-1?
4-1.
4-1. Yeah. All right, back to Steve.
A lot of game left.
No, there's not.
There's not a lot of game left.
There's only a little game left. Over to Steve.
Okay. Of course, the big story of today nationally is Jimmy Carter's funeral going on. Would you do what, U.S. presidents or fictional U.S. presidents?
U.S. presidents, I guess.
What U.S. president was killed during an event called the Pan American Exposition?
Was he in office?
Yes.
Jeez. Let's see. I know Lincoln wasn't there. Kennedy wasn't there. No. Either McKinley or who was the other one? Garfield. I'll say McKinley.
You will say the correct answer. William McKinney.
You're kidding. Right there in Buffalo, New York. 4-2.
Wow. Yes, wow. There you go.
Still within reach. And the steal is still alive, too. Over to Jeffrey.
Told you there's a lot of game left.
Calkins, is that why you know that? Because it's Buffalo? Or do you know where every
Yeah. As Jeffrey points out, the only time I pipe up during the game is the rare, rare moment when I actually know one of the questions. Then I say something. Otherwise, I pretty much keep my own counsel. Over to Jeffrey.
All right, Jeffrey. Dwayne Alonzo Mountain Dew Herbert Camacho is the U.S. president in what comedy set in the year 2505?
God. God. What was the name of that stupid movie?
Steve Connelly still has a steal.
It was a movie, right?
Yeah, so we're looking for a it's a movie. Yeah,
I think it's a Mike Judge. I'm going to say that was Idiocracy.
And you're going to say the correct answer. Yes, that is right.
He's not relenting. 5-2 is the score. This is like watching the Cavs in Oklahoma City go back and forth last night. Anyway, I think we're to our final round. Is that right? We are to our final round. Jeffrey, how many
bullets
are wagering?
Steve,
I can take it you're wagering both your points?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, go for it. All right, and Jeffrey's wagering one. Here we go.
All right, we're heading to space here. Space, you want question A or B, Steve?
A.
Hey, all right, here we go. What unmanned spacecraft was launched into low Earth orbit in 1990 by NASA with the intent of learning more about our universe?
God.
If it helps, I wouldn't begin to know the answer to this one.
Yeah, I mean, you got random stuff here, man. Voyager 10. I don't know.
That is not correct. Jeffrey, did you know?
It's a space shuttle, correct?
What would you have guessed?
I think it's Discovery.
No, it's a satellite.
No, this is an unmanned space shuttle.
I got no clue.
Hubble Space Telescope.
I guess we could have gotten Hubble. Sadly, Steve has 0 points. Jeffrey, we got to play to the end. Play to the echo of the whistle.
Well, He can still steal.
He can get some points. This is like, my goodness, the college football playoffs happening right here. Can we get a close game? Named for the wife and sister of Jupiter, what spacecraft has been investigating our solar system's largest planet for over 8 years?
That would be Juno.
That would be correct. Juno!
Thank you,
Holy
Latin.
Holy smokes.
5 years of Latin, boys.
6-0. Steve, this was astonishing performance by Jeffrey Wright. You had gotten proud of your protege.
He deserved the win. That's for sure. That's some crazy stuff.
Crazy stuff. Well, stay warm out there, Steve.
Hang on the line. I got to get one more note from you.
All right, thanks, Steve. Okay. Appreciate it. That's the great Steve Connolly joins us. Kevin, where are you? Where can people figure out where you're going to be?
Well, I'd just like to say it's always an honor to be joined by Steve Connolly,
the man that invented
the phone.
Yeah, on the airwaves here. We'll go. Shout out to Ron, Steve, and Karen. All right, we've got tonight. Yeah, go to SerenaEntertainment.com. You can check the schedule. We do have a couple locations not playing tonight, but there are many different places you can go to. As I mentioned, Laughlin Yard, Evergreen Grill, Hampline Brewing Company, and the Southwind Huey. So you can get out, y'all. Get out of the house tonight while you can. Get out. Who knows what it's going to be like here over the next few days.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Many thanks for Steve Connolly for joining us, giving a firsthand report of the scene at grocery stores across this great land, or wherever, at least the one Kroger that he went to, where it was totally cleaned out. And then he dared to, to go up against the unstoppable force that is Jeffrey Wright these days. And you didn't miss. Did you miss? You didn't miss.
I don't believe so, yes.
Holy smokes. Anyway, we appreciate Steve listening and Steve weighing in radio legend. So that was great. We did have a, we got the Grizzlies and the Rockets tonight. Big game at FedEx Forum. The storm, it appears, is going to arrive well after the game. So you are all clear to go. We did have a Jeff Calkins Show poll question. We knew what the results of this were. We just didn't know the
scale.
The scale of the route.
Margin of victory.
The margin of victory. Whom do you prefer, Dylan Brooks or Steven Adams? What's the current result?
Jeff, 88% say Steven Adams. Only 12%, therefore, say Dylan Brooks.
88%. I was wondering whether he would get over 80%. And yes, dramatically so. Jimmy Carter, while we have been on the air, they've been having the funeral service for Jimmy Carter. And I find it remarkable when all these former presidents are in the same place, and almost to some extent heartening. There's Barack Obama chatting away with Donald Trump. And, I don't know. I at least maybe there is hope. We have learned some things about Jimmy Carter in the course of this funeral, Jeffrey, that I didn't know if this surprised you or not. One is he wore Crocs.
I saw Jason, his grandson. I think Charles had that note.
Yeah, he did. In fact, if you want to go read Charles over at Charles Fishman on Twitter, he's captured some of the highlights here. Jason Carter is his grandson, and he said, "As Andy Young has said to me, he may be gone, but he has not gone far. He's in the kitchen making pancakes, or in the workshop making a cradle for a grandchild, or standing in a trout stream with Mama Carter." So there were some really sweet moments here. We also learned that the Secret Service vehicle, right, they protected former presidents. They still do, in planes. Do they protect former presidents or just presidents?
So they do protect former presidents. I do remember a few years back there was a bill to perhaps limit the length of time to like 10 years or whatnot. But I think you're grandfathered in if you had...
grandfathered, as it were.
Correct.
The stat is, though, the vehicle in which the Secret Service agent sat or parked, worth more than the house itself in Plains, Georgia.
Yeah, that does not surprise me.
He was a modest fellow who lived modestly. And then finally, we had a eulogy that was given by Gerald Ford. And you're like, well, that seems unlikely. Gerald Ford has exited the building a while ago, good long time ago, right?
Yeah.
But after Carter beat Ford in that election, they became great friends. And Carter did not, in fact, get along particularly with other presidents, partly because other presidents found him to be meddlesome. And that's including Democratic presidents like Clinton and Obama. Like, he'd go off to meet with a foreign leader and they're like, oh, what's Jimmy up to? Right. You know, like he could be kind of a pain in the ass, motivated by desire to do good in the world, very clearly, of which he did an enormous amount. But he was great friends with Gerald Ford. And so they made a deal that they would each eulogize the other. And so when Gerald Ford died, Jimmy Carter eulogized Gerald Ford. And Gerald Ford wrote his eulogy for Carter in advance. So someone would be able to deliver it. And it was Gerald Ford's grandson delivered the eulogy written by Gerald Ford himself at this event today. So that's kind of sweet. Among the things that Gerald Ford said, we commiserated over the high cost of presidential libraries. If there's one thing Jimmy and I shared, we both married way above our station, way above. As for myself, Jimmy, I'm looking forward to our reunion. We have much to catch up on. Welcome home, old friend. So there you go. A lot of bad stuff happening in the world today, but kind of some sweet moments. Listen, you make it to 100, there's not a lot of sadness to be had, right? There's just gratitude and joy. That's certainly how I felt about my dad when he died at the age of 99. If you lead that kind of a life, whatever you thought of Jimmy Carter's presidency, I don't think you can look. He can look back on his life or whatever with anything other than joy and gratitude. We got Grizz tonight. We got a playoff game tonight. Big stuff happening. What's happening for the rest of the day on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason John. Drew Hill will join the program with them at 11:25. It's Thursday, so that means Cobb will be with me on Jeff Wright & Company. Eric Hallstein, Jason Smith, going to join us on the program. Jeff will join Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back tomorrow. Stay warm. Don't panic, for now, work is done.